Some of you may know that 1 week from today, when we are back from the Easter break, Professor David Lau is scheduled to conduct our chapel. It does not look like that will happen because he lies gravely ill in the hospital right now. And it appears as though the Lord may be going to call him from this illness. Let's pray. Eternal God, in whose hands are the issues of life and death, we implore your mercy for your servant, Prof. David Lau, whose time of departure seems close at hand. Nothing is impossible with you, and therefore we know that you can even now prolong his earthly days if it is your will. If, however, it pleases you to call him home at this time, let your holy angel be with him to accompany him into your presence, where there shall be no more suffering, pain, or death, but only fullness of joy forevermore. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We read from Luke chapter 23, verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun was darkened. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, for the past 6 weeks, we have been thinking about the events that occurred during those last days before Jesus' death on the cross. We've seen suffering that we deserved, sins that we have committed, and a Savior such as we would never have dreamed of. And now this week, we come to the end of the taunting and jeering, the end of pain and suffering, the hour of dying. When a team has a black band of cloth sewn to their uniforms, we all know what that means. One of their comrades has died. Sometimes the patch of cloth has a number or initials on it to identify the teammate, owner, or whoever. We are not too surprised then that on that day when the Lord Jesus hung dying on the cross, all of creation, all of nature, wore a black armband. In the beginning, the Creator had said, "First of all, let there be light." And now he by whom all things were made was dying, and the sun grew dark. It was not so hard for the people of Jerusalem to figure out what was happening either. Darkness had long been associated with death, and light with life and salvation. When Jesus was born, the night was turned into day for some shepherds out in the fields. And when the sun stopped shining on Good Friday, it was clearly no ordinary eclipse, not during the time of the full moon when the Passover was always celebrated. No, it was the reversal of Bethlehem's joy, the conclusion of what was there begun. As followers of our Lord, however, we see something more. In dying, our Lord bequeathed something to us, to his own. No, it wasn't earthly wealth. Even during the height of his ministry, he had nowhere to lay his head, no real estate. What property he had, the soldiers divided amongst themselves, and his enemies took his honor, dignity, good name, and peaceful repose with their jeering catcalls and raucous laughter. Well, what has he left us in dying? Is it nothing more than darkness, sadness, and grief? We can get a clue from the veil of the temple. The darkness might have told us that God has turned his back on us. Even Jesus' voice crying out of the darkness might have sent such a message and a chill up our spine. My God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus has not bequeathed darkness to us. Just the opposite. He endured the darkest hour of dying so that he could leave light and life to you and me. The curtain in the temple that strictly controlled access to the mercy seat of God was split down the middle. Now, instead of one priest once a year getting to approach the author of light, Christ has given this access to all of us by his dying. And with that access, he has left to us a blessed departure in life. Because of Jesus' suffering and death for our sins, our access is not like that of a customer at a bank or even the bank president. Our access is not a business contact, but a father. Beloved, now we are children of God, is the message that the Apostle John marveled at. And it is just as astounding today. Remember that traveler in the Scottish Highlands who saw some beautiful flowers partway down a steep mountainside? He promised to pay a shepherd boy if he would pick them and even offered to let him down with a rope. The boy looked at the stranger and then trotted off into the woods. A short time later, he returned with his father. He would go down the mountainside, provided the rope was in his father's hands. Sometimes in this life, our feet come upon some slippery places, and the mountainside of human suffering is very steep, or it seems to be. But no matter how deep or difficult it is, even at the hour of departure, we can rest secure in the knowledge that our times are in our loving Father's hands. He holds the rope. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Perhaps you've heard the saying, all good things must come to an end. Well, when Jesus died, it was really the darkness that ended, and the blessings of forgiveness and peace with God that go on and on. With his dying breath, Jesus bequeathed to us such a blessed departure as he himself had. Now we can call God our Father who art in heaven. And when we die, we too can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And may this joyous confidence be ours every hour of our life, every last one. Amen. We'll sing hymn 172, stanzas 8 and 10. 172, 8 and 10.